Why, even with a good shoulder, this thing's tough to move around, you know? Good to see each of you. What do I got up there? Oh, now it is. Isn't that beautiful? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That's not our lesson today. I just like to put those up there. That's a wonderful thought. We can have fellowship with each other. No matter what our job is in life, no matter who we are, no matter where we are, we can have fellowship. Have you ever gone? Of course you have. You've gone to a church 1,000 miles away, and you walk in and you know everybody. And you don't know their name, but they're your brothers and you're your sisters. And isn't that a wonderful thought? It's just, as a child of God, it's impossible to go somewhere without knowing somebody. And then when you're as well known as I am, you know why? Well, the one I always loved was when I'd go visit in Norwalk. I was always introduced as June's baby brother. When I go visit now in Tucson, I'm Jim's baby brother. When I go to Lake Isabella, I'm Melanie's older brother. My name's Glenn. I just want to be me, you know. And I love it because my family is a wonderful group of Christians. And wherever I go, people know them and they know about them. And I love that, don't you? You can go to the blank one for a moment. I just want to mention real quickly, there's a lot of people to pray for. And we all know that. And I don't know if you do. You like your job? Do you like doing what you do? And you want to be there? Now I'm not calling Norm's position here a job because preaching isn't a job; it's a pleasure. But when you love preaching it and teaching it like he does, it's very hard for him to have to be at home while some novice is up here taking care of his job for him. You just want to do it. You just want to be there. You want to preach God's Word, not just behind the pulpit, but everywhere you go. And so continue to pray for him as well as you pray for other people. Let's pray. Father, we appreciate the opportunity to be here with our brothers and sisters this morning. I pray that as we get into your Word, that I can step out of the way and let you come forward with all of the beautiful words you want to tell us and what you want us to know. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe we'd all like every day to be a good day. But there are some days that aren't very good. Amen? I mean, some days are just bummers. You know from the minute you get up, the moment you roll out of bed, uh-oh, right? You know what's ahead. But our text that we're going to get to in just a moment tells us that each day can be a good one, regardless of the problems that we've got. Now, somebody's going to say, well, preacher, you must have your head in the sand, you know, because there's people in my family that have cancer. I just lost a loved one. I've got financial problems. My kids are, you fill in the blank. Over and over, all these things are happening. And I'm here to say they've been happening since Adam and Eve did what they shouldn't have done. Okay? But the Bible tells us, and it's going to tell us in the text we're going to read, that it is possible that in the midst of all this, we can have a good day. I'll give you a real quick example. If you told Paul, this is the day you're going to lose your head, what would he have said? Oh, no, man, it's miserable. What would Paul have said? For me to be absent from the body is to be present with. So really, this is the best day of my life, he could have said, okay? Or the best day of my death, whatever that is, okay? Let's go over there. Let's go to 1 Peter 3rd chapter, 8th verse. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That's from 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 8 through 12. Many people dread life because they have more bad days than good ones. And I think we've either met that person or been that person at one or sometimes in our life. It just seems like I'm having more bad days than I ought to have. Do I hear an amen? Yeah, and this is just, it's just going on, and it's going on, and it's going on. And I know there are people in this audience who've been sick longer than they want to be sick. Amen? Now, that was kind of a dumb statement. How many of you want to be sick for 30 seconds? You know, but I mean, sick longer than they want to be sick. There are people in this audience who've had financial problems, whether it's their fault or whatever. Longer than they want to have financial problems. They've had marriage problems more than they want to have marriage problems. And I could go on and on and on about the fact that many people dread life because that's all it is. That's all that's coming my way anymore. But that is not our Lord's desire for us. That's not how the Lord wants us to live our lives. Over in the 10th chapter of the book of John, in the 10th verse, Jesus says, the thief, that's the devil, comes to steal and to kill. That's his job. You ever feel his job being done pretty good? But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's why Jesus came. He says, yeah, I know you're going to have problems because the devil's doing his job. Amen? I mean, we all know he's doing his job. But Jesus says, I want you to know, and I want you to know that I came for this reason, that you might have life and have it. I love the different translations. Have it to its fullest. Have it more abundantly. I came for that reason. And many people look at it and say, well, someday. No, not someday. Today. He's not talking about just in the future. Just in heaven. He's talking about right now. He wants his followers to know good and wonderful and abundant days, even in the midst of all the problems. In verse 12 of our text, that's back in 1 Peter, in verse 12 of our text, there are three wonderful truths about the goodness of God. This verse, verse 12, speaks about God's eyes, God's ears, and God's face. The use of these physical qualities are simply word pictures to teach us that God is good. And because God is good, every day can be a good one. I want to hear somebody say amen. I mean, it's just the truth, folks, because God is good. Now, hey, does anybody know whether or not Satan's got any good in him? Say no, he doesn't, okay? And because Satan's bad, if you want to let him, every day can be a rotten day. Every day can be a bad day, amen? The thief has come to steal and to kill, okay? But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, all right? So, Proverbs 15. Whoops, I'm a long ways away from there. I changed. Okay, and because God is good, every day can be a good one. Every day is good because God's eyes are watching us. There's a song, I don't know if it's in our book, but it's all along on the road to the soul's true abode. There's an eye watching you. And I had a guy years ago who said, I can't sing that song. I can't stand the thought that God's watching me. You know, well, why? Hello? Well, why? Why can't you stand the fact that God's watching you? Well, you all know the answers, don't you? 1 Peter 3, verse 12 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. And the Bible clearly states that God is watching the affairs of this world. Proverbs 15, verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Here's what I want you to know. God never takes His eyes off of us. He's watching everything we do. I don't like that. Well, then do something about it. Did you hear me? If you don't like God watching you, then you must be doing something you shouldn't be doing. Amen? You must be living a life you shouldn't be living. You know what? I want God watching me. God is not is watching us, but He's not watching us so that He can say, gotcha. You know, so many people have this picture of God as He's some cosmic cop that sets up there, and every time we do something wrong, He writes us out a ticket. You know? Three tickets, you go to jail, you'll never make it to heaven. That kind of thing. That's not what He's doing. You know what He's really watching us for? He's watching us to see what area we need help in. Anybody here need help? You know where to get the best help? From God, the one that's watching us. He's watching us to help us. He wants to help us. How many of you just told your kids when they were that big, just learn to walk, you know, that stage when you followed them around looking like Frankenstein because you're afraid you're going to fall? How many of you, when they got that age, opened the back door and said, go play? All by yourself. You don't need me. You're walking now. You know, you don't do that. As adults, as parents, we watched our kids because we were concerned about them. I can't tell you how many times that I lived in a neighborhood. Some people said, well, you missed a big blessing. I grew up in the country. Well, I grew up in the city. Okay, that's where that yo-yo-yo came from. I'm sorry. That's what I was doing earlier with Bill. But you know what? We lived in a place where everybody had their eyes on us. That wasn't any fun either. You know, I remember running across the street one day and Mr. Brown was out on his porch and a car had to hit the brakes and skidded and missed me by about that much. Mr. Brown came out in the street, picked me up and spanked me. That's the way it used to be, kids, when you lived in a good neighborhood, okay? Because he wanted me to know I had been in danger, okay? Now, God's not necessarily going to pick you up and spank you, but God's watching us so that He can help us. Don't go out in that street anymore, Glenn, without looking both ways. Okay? 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support. Now, here it is. Listen. To give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward Him. Well, my heart's not blameless. We'll make it that way. Let Him make it that way, okay? Being blameless in God's sight requires forgiveness of sins. How many of you get your sins forgiven on a daily basis? Okay, and that's what God wants. He wants you to just keep trying, okay? God's not calling us to be perfect. He's calling us to be faithful. Does that make sense? And as we are faithful, are we going to fall? Are we going to have bad times? Are we going to have bad days? Psalm 3 has nothing to do with our lesson in a way. I called Karen and I said, well, this was like Friday because I didn't know what I was going to preach on for a couple of days. I had a couple of things in mind. But Psalm 3 touches on what we're talking about today, okay? It talks about someone, David, who has problems. I'm down. God, pick me up. I'm in trouble. God, get me out of it. Okay? Somebody said to me once that the Psalms were, in some cases, the most depressing books written in the Bible. And while there are some pretty ones, there are some in there that are pretty depressing. But you know what the whole point is? The writers keep calling on God. Even when you're down, who do you call? God. Okay? Even when you're in trouble, who do you call? And that's what Psalm 3 is about. That's what it's all about. And don't anybody, you know, when you read Psalm 3 and you read, God break their jaw and bust their teeth. Come on, tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. Haven't you at one time or another? Yeah, Betty knows what I'm talking about. That'd be a good way to get rid of that problem, that trouble. But God's watching us to help us. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward Him. God is always watching for those who will commit their hearts to Him. And here's the key. He's watching because He loves us. Okay? He could turn our back on us. Where would we be then? He loves us in spite of who we are, in spite of what we do, in spite of the actions that come out every day out of some of us. He loves us. Zechariah, the second chapter, and the eighth verse says, "For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye." You want to mess with me? You're messing with the apple of God's eye. What can this government do to me? Well, they can raise your taxes. They don't pay me enough already. I'm retired, for those of you. Yeah, you know, I just got a letter this year. Do y'all got that one? That one letter that says, guess what? You get no raise this year because the prices went down. Gas prices went down. Whoopee. Meat prices went up. Oh, well, never mind. I don't want to go there. But the government can't hurt me. See, God's watching over me. I'm the apple of His eye. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? I am the apple of God's eye. It's always a good day when we know that God's eyes are upon us. And then next, every day is a good day when we know that God hears everything we say. Back to the same thing I was talking about before. God hears everything we say. He not only watches over us, but He hears everything we say. And every once in a while, I remember that. And I slap myself. Amen? Every once in a while, I remember that. And I said, whoops, God heard that too. Not just the driver that cut me off. Y'all know that story too well, but 1 Peter 3, verse 12 again, and His ears are open to their prayer. His ears are open. God's listening to me. God hears what we say to others. You hear that, husbands? You hear that, wives? You hear that, parents? You hear that, children? God hears what we say. So, verse 10 of our text tells us how we ought to say it. 1 Peter 3:10 says, "For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." Okay? And then verse 9 instructs us to repay evil with good. That's tough stuff, isn't it? Yeah. We must not insult others, even when we have been insulted. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And we all know that. She said something she shouldn't have said, so being a man, I've got to say something a little tougher than that. In order to show, right? And then it's an all-out fight. But a soft answer turns away wrath. The truth is that words can hurt us much more than sticks and stones. I've said this before. I don't want anybody to attempt to prove it, but I'd rather be punched in the nose than to hear some of the things that I've heard coming from people I love. Sticks and stones will break your bones. But once the cast is gone and the limp is gone, the only time you'll remember that's when it gets cold outside or it starts to rain. But words you will have in your heart and in your head. In some cases, forever. So, Psalm 141, verse 3 says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." You want to have God watching over your lips. Okay? God, put a lock on my lips. Okay? I want to say it. I really want to say it. But if I do, and so let's just keep a guard. Let God guard our lips. God is always listening to what we say to others. He hears us when we talk to Him. Psalm 34, verse 17 says, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." And verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." I don't want God hearing me all the time, but you sure want Him to hear you when you got a prayer. Amen? I don't care if He hears me. I hope He doesn't hear this. You know? I don't want Him hearing me all the time. Yes, you do want Him hearing you all the time. And the one way to make it more pleasant is to have a more pleasant mouth. Amen? And it's tough. That's probably my toughest thing, is my mouth. It gets me in so much trouble. What are you shaking your head about? We need to remember that when the righteous cry out to God, He's there to help them. We need to remember that God is always listening to the brokenhearted. There's brokenhearted people in this audience right now, aren't there? Yeah. Brokenhearted. I don't know what the reason is, you know. It may be physical, it may be spiritual, it may be emotional. But there's brokenhearted people in here. And brokenhearted people can always be assured that God's listening to them, to hear what they have to say. In his book, The Pursuit of God, A.W. Tozier wrote, listen to this, beautiful. "An infinite God can give all of Himself to each of His children. He does not distribute Himself that each may have a part, but to each one He gives Himself as fully as if there were no others." Isn't that beautiful? You know, we say, you know, you all know what it is as parents. We say, "I love them all the same." But we have to give it, right? You all know that? Not God. He gives all of Himself to all of His children. All the time. And that's beautiful. That's wonderful to know. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things you have not known." Isn't that beautiful? It's a good day when we realize that God is listening to us. And every day is a good day when we seek God's face. We've talked about God's eyes. We talked about God's ears. But verse 12 also says something about God's face. In 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter in the 12th verse, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, His ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." God's face is a reference to His glory. The Bible tells us much about the importance of seeking God's face, that is, His glory. We seek God's face. Now listen, we seek God's face when we seek His will. Okay? When I'm seeking God's will, I'm seeking God's face. When I'm seeking His will, I'm seeking His glory. Okay? Whatever it is you have got for me in your will, God, I want to do it because I know you will be glorified. Amen? And that's what we're supposed to be doing, is bringing God glory. Okay? So we need to be seeking His face. Second Chronicles, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, this nation of ours truly needs to listen to. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. See, the problem, I almost said I'm sorry to have to say this. I had a guy at Madras who wasn't a member of the church. He came pretty faithfully with his wife. And he called me up one Sunday after church. And he says, Glenn, can you come over? And I thought, thank you, God, this is it. You know? And I went over. And he says, I need to talk with you. And he says, I want you to quit apologizing for God. And I said, say what? Every once in a while I say, I'm sorry, but. And if you hear me say that, throw something at me. I'm not sorry. I'm going to tell you. Well, I didn't mean that literally. Listen. The problem with this country is we ain't God's people in this country. I said ain't because I want to draw your attention to it. The problem with this country is that there aren't enough Christians being Christians. Okay, and I'm not talking about voting. Vote, okay? You know what my problem is going to be this year? Voting for the lesser of two evils. And when you vote for the lesser of two evils, you're still voting for? Thank you, okay? That's not our problem. Our problem is saying to schools, no, you ain't going to do that no more. Because I'm the parent. You're just a bunch of government bureaucrats trying to lead my children astray. Why, that's radical, isn't it? Yeah. If we seek God's face, truly seek God's face, if we appeal to Him, what did He say? I'll heal your land. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? See, the problem with many of us as Christians is we just sit on the sideline and let it happen. Oh, man, look, they're teaching evolution in school. Do something about it. And I didn't say get a gun. You know, that's many people, that's their answer. The answer is God. The answer is God. And do you know what? If every person in this city who calls themselves a Christian would go to North Bend High School, Marshfield High School, and tell them how they feel about it, it would change. I didn't hear an amen. Maybe it's because we don't want to do something about it. When we sin, we lose sight of God's face. When we sin, we turn away from the light of God's face. In Isaiah, the 59th chapter, in the 2nd verse, God says to us, but our iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. Psalm 27, verse 8 says, you have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Psalm 27, verse 9 says, hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. I want God's face on me. I want to be seeking God's face. I shouldn't have got off on that school thing, but you know what? It's everything in our lives. I am tired of the world telling me as a child of God what I ought to be doing. Because I get my marching orders from God and God alone. I'd like to see it done in a pleasant, proper, beautiful way, but you know what? Whoever they replace Scalia with ain't going to make any difference. The only difference that's going to be made is when we, as children of God, believe every word that is written in this book and seek the face of God and seek His glory. Again, that Psalm 27:9, the last part of it says, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Listen, God is not playing a cosmic game of hide and seek with us. He's available. He's there. But we have to seek Him. That's why he says in Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. The Bible says the glory of God is found in the face of Jesus. And as long as we are looking to Jesus, we know that we are walking in the light. I love that song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth, the problems, the cares, the difficulties, the finances, all of that other stuff will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Second Corinthians, the fourth chapter in the sixth verse says, For God, who said, Let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Psalm 4, verse 6 says, There are many who say, Who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You can have a good day because God is good and He will be watching after you. Whatever happens, your Father is watching after you. You can have a good day because God is good and His ear is listening to you. You can have a good day because God is good and He has invited you to seek His face. I know there's problems in this world. I know there's problems in our family. I know all kinds of difficulties hit us. And how can I have a good day? You know what? My dad was one of the smartest men I knew when it came to the Bible. And he may have got it somewhere else, but he told me one day, when you read the Bible, you notice it always says it. That's that problem, okay? It. You got an it, a problem, a difficulty, the one that's going to ruin your day. He says it always says it came to pass. It never says it came to stay. Think about that. Think about that. And as long as we've got God listening and watching us and we're seeking His glory, we can have a good day. Every day can be a good day. Let's see if my Michael and Anthony know this. Every day can be a good day because God is good. And all the time, amen, we can have a good day because of God. If you're here and you're not a child of God, you can have bad day after bad day after bad day after bad day. But if you seek the face of the Lord, if you seek His salvation, you can have a good day every day. If you're not a child of God, if you haven't confessed His name before men, if you haven't repented of your sins, if you haven't been buried with Him in baptism to rise out of a watery grave and walk in newness of life, if you haven't been united with Him, today's the day. Today's the day to give Him your life. To give Him your all. Every day can be a good day. Child of God, will you, if you have a need, would you come while we stand and sing?